Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Title of our sermon this morning is Perilous Times Have Come. We are in a world that is attacking the Word of God day by day. Dr. Paul Chappell, Lancaster Baptist Church, Lancaster, California, writes, quote, "If there is any group of people who should believe in the dignity of every human being according to Genesis 1:27, that they are created in the image of God, it is Christians. Indeed, Bible-believing Christians have that regardless of any physical, national, or social differences, that all people are created equal at birth and should be treated with dignity and respect. Romans 10:12 says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." The quote continues, "Furthermore, within the church, we believe that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. We all come to the Lord the same way, through Jesus. And there is no difference in any Christian's worth to God or inclusion in the church body. Galatians 3:28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." The quote continues, "These are the ideas the founding fathers had in mind when they wrote in the Declaration of Independence, 'We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights.'" The quote continues, "But these are not the same ideas behind the Equality Act, currently working its way through the U.S. Congress, seeking to amend the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the Equality Act makes two serious errors. First, it makes sexual orientation and gender identity protected classes. The Civil Rights Act outlawed discrimination on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, or national origin in public accommodations. But the Equality Act changes the meaning of sex from its basic biological meaning of male or female and specifically defines it to include any form of sexual characteristics. Second, it eliminates the use of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, otherwise known as RFRA, which was passed by Congress and signed into law by the President Bill Clinton in 1993. The RFRA provides protection to religious exercise already protected under the U.S. Constitution. Yet the Equality Act passed in the House of Representatives by a 236 to 173 vote. And it has now been sent on to the Senate, who has referred it to the Committee on the Judiciary, where it remains at this time of the writing," unquote. Would you please stand as we read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we realize that the Word of God is under attack today. We realize that the Church of God is under attack today. We understand, Lord, that the people of God are under attack today. Lord, give us strength to remain strong in perilous times. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Perilous times, Paul wrote, shall come. But I write, perilous times have come. Question, why should Christians be concerned? Well, number one, it will categorize basic Bible beliefs as discriminatory. Bible-believing Christians have always taught that God created mankind in His image and in only two possible genders, male and female. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And in our world today, we have those who have gone to battle against God and said, God made a mistake. Now listen carefully. God created sexual intimacy as a beautiful part of marriage, but forbids any sexual act outside of marriage. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. It is important to remember that our God specifically forbids homosexual acts. Romans 1:26 and 27 says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Both Leviticus 18:13 and chapter 20, verse 13 declare that man with man acts are an abomination before the Lord, and those caught in the act were to be stoned. These are convictions that Bible-believing people have held for thousands of years, and they are not recently made up to discriminate against any person or group of people. But the Equality Act sees any real conviction on these in a way that might impart a person's conscience or a church or religious group as categorically discriminatory. This could impact churches, Christian colleges, or other Christian organizations' hiring processes. Now, if you have kept up with the two things in Kentucky, the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter, they have been sued and taken to court over their hiring practices. Fortunately, so far, they have won, being told that they have the right to hire who they will. But it could force Christian adoption agencies to place babies in homes with same-sex couples, and this is just the beginning of the far-reaching ramifications when the government takes it upon itself to define basic religious beliefs as bigoted and intolerant. You know, we find it interesting that communism said that God is dead, and that if you do worship, you worship only as we tell you. And yet we find here in the land of the free that our government is very close to telling us what we can say and what we cannot say. Number two, it will suppress religious liberty. Are you glad you can be in the house of God today? Are you glad that we can worship here freely? But things could change, and very soon. Religious liberty is one of the greatest gifts of the American Constitution. Again, Paul Chappell writes, when the Constitution becomes radically redefined to enforce the subjection, identification of a person with the object reality of others, such as a man who identifies as a woman and allowing him to enter into a woman's restroom, objective personal freedom is left unprotected. Unquote. Listen. When the government takes it upon itself to define basic Bible beliefs as discriminatory, religious liberty is pushed out the door and thrown under the bus. Folks, we need to pray for America. We need to pray for our political leaders. We need to pray that men and women will stand up for what is right. And it takes more than just in the voting booth. It could mean that you have to make a phone call or two or three. It may mean that you have to do something more than just say, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Number three, it endangers children and removes parental protection. This bill specifically states, quote, an individual shall not be denied access to a shared facility, including a restroom, a locker room and or dressing room that is in accordance to the individual's gender identity. Now, we do remember a couple of years ago when Target said that they were not going to stop anything from happening. And literally hundreds and thousands of people boycotted Target because of the fact they believed that they should care. And folks, we need to care. One of the reasons we as a society have gender-segregated restrooms is to provide protection and privacy for women and girls. This bill would remove that protection, allowing a man who identifies as a woman to enter a woman's area or any other shared facility, which could also include domestic violence shelters. American Family Association spokesman Walker Weldman, in response to the January 2017 issue of National Geographic, which features a transgender child on the cover. Maybe you saw it. He writes, what National Geographic is doing is exploiting children to further a social agenda, which is transgenderism, homosexuality, and all other sexual deviancy. What maybe started out as a small snowball has now become a large snowball. And it's very hard to stop it from rolling downhill. If that is not bad enough concerning allowing men even into domestic violence shelters, because of the broad sweeping definitions in this bill, it could also limit parental protection for children who are confused regarding their gender identity. Now, let me put here a thought before I continue. The reason they are confused is because of adults who have put in their mind, oh, you might really be, but you're just in the wrong body. Hogwash. Continuing the quote, literally requiring doctors to give them life-altering medical treatments without their parents' consent. Now, some states, such as California, have already passed such laws. And you may have read about the 12-year-old girl that had a double mastectomy because she thought she was a boy. Now, folks, this is the world we live in, a world of confusion, and Satan is the father of confusion. God says, man and wife. The world says, whatever you want to do is okay. Now, folks, we are in a battle for our children. And we need to realize that. And it's not just our children, it's our grandchildren. Because this is not getting better. it's continuing in a wrong direction. Point number four, two preconclusive thoughts. Dr. James Dotson called the Equality Acts a thinly veiled attempt to finish off religious liberty in America once and for all, which ought to be plainly obvious based on the cursory reading of the First Amendment, unquote. In the same article, he further explained, this decision demonstrates a frightening willingness by those on the left to advance a radical social agenda at a time when our nation already faces so many other divisive challenges. Simply put, by creating a protected class of citizens out of the LGBT community, this bill places Christians who believe in traditional families at grave legal and civil jeopardy, unquote. Now the conclusion. Now I realized when I did this sermon, I had no idea if it would be a long or short sermon. Whenever you attack Satan and his desires, he is against us. And he is against the man right now speaking. To those that voted first for President Obama and then for Joe Biden and for liberal left candidates, we see the danger that is coming to our children and grandchildren and even Christianity itself. Folks, we are under attack. And if you believe the Word of God to be true, the day may come in which you may be imprisoned for that very idea. Yet, listen, this is not the first time that society has tried to do away with God or God's house or God's word or God's people. We have been blessed in America for many decades to have freedom of religion. But may I say this, Satan has never been happy about it. His desire is to destroy the Word of God and God's people. Matthew 16:18 says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, that being the church of Jesus Christ. There are many differences concerning these gates of hell. Personally, I believe the gates of hell have been opened wide and the devil and his demons have come forth in full armor, attacking us with every evil device imaginable. Be it the so-called rap songs of today's society. Be it with the pornography that is so prevalent. Be it the fact that we have so many that are immoral in our life, believing that it's okay until you get married and then you have to be faithful. The fact of the matter is God has a plan and man has said, we don't want to follow it. We want to do what makes us feel good. Our Lord destroyed the antediluvian civilization because, as the Bible says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So he brought judgment upon the world. So when was this antediluvian civilization? Well, it was before the flood. And at the flood, the Lord brought destruction upon all mankind except for eight people. Later, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah to stop the spread of that sin that was an abomination in his eyes. See, God will bring judgment again. Or he will have to apologize to those to whom he has already judged. When you ponder the thought of how many millions of babies have been aborted in America and around the world, God will bring judgment. When you think of the sex trafficking of children, God will bring judgment. But we need to continue to preach the Word of God. This church and churches like ours must stand forth proclaiming that God has a plan and a purpose. The Bible is clear when it declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. People don't like to think that they are by nature sinful. That, oh, they may do little bad things, but in reality, they're pretty good. But in the eyes of God, all have come short of His glory. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Well, you work for wages, and the wages of sin is death. And so all will die and go to hell unless they have accepted the gift of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, we talk about gifts. My wife and I just celebrated 48 years of marriage. And we were trying to decide on what her gift would be. So we looked online and we found a garden work bench area that she has now ordered. And it's supposed to arrive sometime in August. You know, it's a gift. You have received gifts. I was talking recently about graduating high school and how that I had been given by my parents $100. Now, $100 in 1971 was a lot of money. But my uncle, who was my same age, was given a Camaro. Now, wait a minute. That just doesn't seem right, does it? $100 versus a Camaro. But gifts are gifts, and the giver can give what they want. But God offers us a gift of salvation. I read this verse yesterday at the memorial service for Lorraine Van Langenhoven, and I appreciate you that were here for that, and for you that prayed for me during the time in which I spoke. But Romans 5, 8, and 9 says, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Now, in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we'd be more than happy to show you from the Word of God what you must do to make your peace with the Lord concerning your sin and the forgiveness thereof. If you've never been baptized, but you are a believer, we'd be glad to talk to you about that or church membership. But also with our invitation today, I'm going to ask you to either come to the altar and pray or to sit where you're at and pray for the United States of America. You know, no matter how great a nation has been, many of them have come and gone. And just because that we have been blessed for so many years doesn't mean that God could not remove that blessing. We need to thank God for gospel preaching churches. We need to thank God for churches that who have remained faithful and strong. We need to pray that the Covenant Baptist Church will remain faithful and strong. Shall we stand together? 382 is our invitation song. In just a moment, as we sing, as the ladies play and we sing, you can have the opportunity to come and to pray, either here at the altar or there where you're at. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now your blessings on this invitation time. We ask, Lord, now that you would bless it. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.